John's Crazy Socks is a social enterprise with the mission to
spread happiness.
Spread happiness.
Hello, fellows. Welcome to the next episode of Jagged with Just Ravi, conversations at the edge with thought leaders from the marketing, branding, and the business world. Hi, Mark and John.
Hi.
How are you?
We are happy to be here with you. Thank you for having us on your podcast.
I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you. I'm thrilled to have both of you on my show. So could you tell us, a little bit more about the vision and the mission so audiences can really appreciate?
Okay. So the business model is slightly different. We are a social enterprise. Hmm. So we have both a social mission and a business mission. Hmm. And they feed off of each other. And they're indivisible. Hmm. Right? So overall, what are we doing?
Spread happiness.
Spreading happiness. Hmm. And there are four pillars to that for us. Hmm. It's socks you can love. Right? Hmm. How many different socks do we have?
We have over 3,000 different kinds of socks.
So here's the thing. This is really cool.
Yes.
John here now owns the world's largest sock store in terms of choice.
That's great.
Nobody else has the choice. But second, we are always looking to make a personal connection with our customers. Mm. Right? So what goes in every package?
Every package get a digging new elbow and candy.
Right? Because when we want to create an experience. Mm-hmm. So when you open that package, mm-hmm. on the outside, you see John's smiling face because he's the logo.
Yeah.
Get a handwritten thank you note from John. Yes, we have copies of it. Yeah. On the backside of that note tells you the story of John's Crazy Socks. Mm-hmm. There's candy. There are two discount cards. Hmm. Why two cards?
A customer's.
One for the customer.
One to give to a friend.
One to give to a friend.
Oh,
and you
okay.
get your socks. So you're not just getting a package in the mail. You're just opening it. You're feeling happy. Hmm. And the socks become the physical manifestation of our story. Hmm. Then the third pillar is giving back.
Yes.
We start by pledging 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics. Mm. And why the Special Olympics?
I am a better Olympic athlete.
There you go. You got to give back.
Wow.
But we've gone on to create products that raise awareness and raise money for certain causes. Mm. So the first of our awareness socks is?
A Down the Drum awareness socks.
And who designed that?
I did.
Right? And that raises money for the National Down Syndrome Society. Mm-hmm. We have autism awareness socks. Mm-hmm. We have cerebral palsy awareness socks. Mm-hmm. Last year, as the pandemic first really hit the U.S., mm-hmm. we wanted to say thank you. So we created healthcare superhero socks. More than half of our employees mm-hmm. have a differing ability. Mm-hmm. We create content all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Videos, pictures, just to show mm-hmm. what our colleagues can do, show the mm-hmm. world. And we do advocacy work. Mm-hmm. We've spoken at the United Nations. We've testified twice before the U.S. Congress, mm-hmm. just to stand up for the rights of people with different abilities. Mm-hmm. So you roll all that together. Mm-hmm. And you get John's Crazy Socks.
Mark, you just showed how different aspects of your business and work are all well integrated into this vision. So apart from differentiating, the company and giving a lot of distinctiveness to the brand and a very human and adorable face as the logo.
Adorable.
How else do you think, the social mission helps your business?
If all we were doing was selling socks, you wouldn't be talking to us. Hmm. Because we've counted, right? Hmm. There are exactly 1 gazillion sock companies. And how do you stand out, right? Do you say, you know, ours are stronger or look better or cheaper, right? The social mission and the story differentiate us. It helps us stand out. Consumers are saying, before I give you my money, what are you going to do with it? How do you treat your employees? How do you treat the environment? How do you give back to the community? And when you have a social enterprise, you have answers for those questions. It also helps in hiring people. In the United States, we have a growing labor shortage. And there's also something going on that sociologists and economists are referring to as the big quit. 4 million people have resigned their jobs. Why? Because they're saying, what am I doing? I have a good job, but what's the purpose? We're able to hire people. They come here and they're excited to work here because they're working on a mission that's bigger than themselves, that's greater than themselves. And they know how they are making a difference. We sell socks for diabetics. Well, one day, one of our happiness packers, that's what we call our packers, comes and says, you know, this is very strange. We're selling socks to diabetics, and then we're sending them candy. Doesn't make sense. Now we should pay attention. If you're getting diabetic socks, we put sugar-free candy in that package. We have shipped to 85 different countries. And yet, John still does home deliveries. He did one last night, right?
I did.
If we get an order between our office and our home, on the way home, John will go hand deliver it. We have a birthday club. If you tell us your birthday, and like many others, you know, we'll give you a discount on your birthday. But what else do we have? We have a video of John singing you happy birthday. We're always looking for things that ways we can connect to our customers. You know, if somebody posts a picture or video, John makes a thank you video for them.
Yeah. So now, you know, the socks are legendary, the crazy socks, you know, that goes with the, you know, brand essence. They're fun, they're colorful, they're creative, and they're very, very distinctive. So when it comes to the product, you know, because the brand has a larger mission and it's translated to the product, it's translated to how you are building relationships with employees, how you're interacting with the customers. Now at the product part, are there any specific processes or initiatives or, you know, design elements in the design brief that go so that, you know, that because whatever socks I have seen, they're really, really, you know, fun.
When it comes to the socks, we want them to be fun, help us spread happiness, and they have to be
socks
that John can promote. At one point, I guess about 2 years ago, we got some socks in that said on the side of it, forgive my language, said, yo, bitch. Now, I can tell you, those socks will sell well, but not for us. John can't do that, right? So, you know, it really is here. What would John do? How would John react? We're expanding our sock offerings now because we've established ourselves as the world's largest sock store. We got to have something for everybody. So dress socks, athletic socks, as well as the fun and the crazy socks. And we're also adding other products. So we just got some in. I love these, right? We've got throw blankets that match themes of Down syndrome awareness, autism awareness. They're beautiful and they're going to be great. Right? So we expand that way with our products.
Awesome.
And it also speaks to diversity. We have a diverse workplace. We have a diverse client, customer base. We take suggestions from our customers all the time. And everybody here helps pick out socks. Because I'm a white man living in the suburbs outside of New York City, and I'm 63 years old. How am I going to pick socks for a 16-year-old girl living in Mumbai? I can't. But if we have a diverse enough workforce and we're picking a lot of different products and we have a lot of choices, something in there is going to speak to that girl.
Very nice. Awesome. Yeah. You know, this whole thing of diversity, you talked about diversity in the workplace. Half of your employees have a differing disability. More than half. Okay, so this is, was there on the profile. So what are the benefits of creating a unified workplace? Because I'm sure there are lots of misconceptions. We were talking earlier, you said there are business benefits.
We hire people with differing abilities, not out of altruism. We hire them because it's good business. We draw from three labor pools. People with differing abilities. Moms, because we schedule people in four-hour shifts, our pickers, our wranglers. So moms can put their kid on the bus in the morning to go to school, come work, and then be home to pick the kid up in the afternoon. Then we get day laborers. Our starting wage is $15 an hour. So we get people that, unskilled, basically, that want a $15 an hour job. By far, the best labor pool for us are people with differing abilities. They show up on time. They're enthusiastic. They want to be here. They're focused. They work hard. It makes things go. Here's another advantage. So during the holiday times in the U.S., November and December, and we're doing 40% of our business, so we have to hire extra people. This is fairly common. Well, pre-pandemic, and we'll probably see it again this year, a lot of businesses could not hire enough people. So what did that mean? They either couldn't deliver all the, couldn't do all the business they wanted to or could have, or they had to pay overtime to workers, which cut into their profits. We didn't have that problem because we hired people with different abilities. We had all the employees we needed. And I'll give you two other examples. There's a small US-based software company. You may have heard of them, called Microsoft. So Satya Nadella, who's originally from India, their CEO, he has a son with a disability. He says to his people, how come we're not hiring more people with different abilities? Particularly in the tech arena, many people with autism have great technical skills. Why weren't they getting hired? Because they couldn't get through the normal interview process. They may not look you in the eye. They may not have a good handshake. Well, Microsoft realized that was their problem. What did Microsoft do? They changed their hiring process. Now they hire large numbers of people with autism. And be clear, that gives them a competitive advantage over other tech companies that aren't able to do that.
Absolutely. And it makes great sense, Mark.
You try to make sense, right? And we're incredibly fortunate. We get to see minor miracles all the time, right? I'll tell them the story about Thomas.
Yes.
You like that story?
I like it.
So Thomas is one of our sock wranglers. Thomas is one of our sock wranglers, a picker in our pick and pack warehouse. Thomas's mother first called us up in October of 2017.
Hmm.
Spoke to one of our colleagues and said, I understand you hire people like my son, because Thomas has autism. Hmm. He needs a job. I need you to hire him.
Hmm.
Our colleague explained we didn't have any openings, but when we did, we'd post it on our social media and our website.
Hmm.
Well, mom called every day, because that's what moms do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I heard this and I spoke to her and I said, tell me about Thomas.
Hmm.
And she said, well, Thomas has autism. He's in his early 20s and he's in a bad way.
Hmm.
He's very depressed.
Hmm.
He's fairly nonverbal.
Hmm.
She said, we have trouble getting him to come out of his room.
Hmm.
Doesn't want to shower or shave.
Hmm.
Won't join any programs.
Mm.
He hasn't spoken to his father in over 6 months.
Mm.
I heard this and said, sounds like a wonderful employee. Well, then, 2 weeks later, we had some openings.
Mm.
And we called up and said, bring Thomas out.
Mm.
Now, the way we hire our sock wranglers, you meet with John and me. We want you to understand the mission and the story and our values.
Mm.
We want to make sure you want to be here, that you're not here because a job coach or mom or dad or somebody said you have to come.
Mm.
And then one of our current sock wranglers will train you, right? You've trained a lot of people.
I did.
Then you have to pass the sock wrangler test to pick six orders in 30 minutes or less.
Mm.
Shows you can do the job.
Mm.
Thomas passes this test as if he was put on this earth to be a sock wrangler. He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Thomas, who works with us, at 6:30 in the morning, he is up, he is showered and shaved, and waits for his father to drive him to work.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets here,
the
young man who wouldn't look at you and wouldn't talk to anybody goes around and wishes everybody a good morning.
Mm.
And we want to be clear, right?
Mm.
So people love having Thomas around.
Mm.
We did nothing. We have no special training. We have no special programs.
Mm.
All we did was give Thomas the opportunity to earn a job.
Mm.
And it's transformative for everybody.
Awesome. This is so inspiring. He has a mission now that matches the mission of the company, you know. So every day, you know, that drives him, that inspiration. He's in spirit for that. That's so inspiring. So, Mark, now, you know, you talked about 5% of earnings donated to the Special Olympics. And, you know, you're the there's a lot of, you know, money you raise for charities as well. There's a lot of advocacy. So, could you talk about this association with Special Olympics?
The Special Olympics is very important to us personally. How old were you when you started playing?
I started when I was 5 years old.
And what sport?
Soccer.
We call it soccer. The rest of the world calls it football.
Okay. Okay.
What sports do you play now?
Right now, I play basketball, track and field, soccer, and snowshoe,
right?
Wow, that's awesome. So
here's what we know. We have seen the impact that Special Olympics has had for John. The discipline, you know, what are some of the things you've learned?
I learned discipline, how to be coached, and I have to be trained, and I had to be a sportsmanship. And be a leader.
You learn teamwork.
Leadership.
Without Special Olympics, there would be no John's Crazy Socks. The Special Olympics gave to John some of what it would take to be an entrepreneur and start his own business. So we have a number of our colleagues, our Special Olympic athletes, and a number of us have coached in the Special
Olympics.
It's very important to us, and therefore, it's important to give back to to show our gratitude and appreciation. It's a very cool thing. John here has donated over $100,000 US to the Special Olympics. It is very cool that a Special Olympic athlete has given back that much.
The authenticity is, you know, you bring it to life. Authenticity, all the things that the new age brands require, purpose, transparency, ethics, great values, culture, all of this comes together. And this brings me to your relationship, the Crazy Sox relationship with George Bush and Joe Biden. Any favorite memories there?
Well, you've had a lot of people wear those, huh?
Yes, I do.
Your friend Kevin James, the comedian, you like that?
Yep, and my friend, the Charles Toby Burns.
Right, mentioned that. That's all so exciting.
It's so cool.
Right?
Yeah. So, although I know about it, I've heard this, I want our audiences to know the origin story, you know, how it all started and, how the early challenges could not derail you, what kept you going.
Well, origin stories matter. They give us our DNA.
Yeah.
So just about 5 years ago, the fall of 2016, where were you?
I entered Huntington High School. I was a U.S. and Dr. PP my last year.
So in the United States, if you have a disability, you can stay in the public school system until you turn 21. And then at age 21, they're going to say, get out! We've had enough, right? So John was in his last year of school, and like everybody else, trying to figure out, what do I do next? And what were you looking at?
I look at school program and
different jobs, right?
A job, yes.
You see anything you like?
I don't like something I don't like, and I.
He didn't see anything he liked. John was looking for meaningful work to do. And unfortunately, there aren't always good choices for people with different abilities. John here, he is a natural entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So instead of seeing that as a problem, he turned it into an opportunity.
Yeah.
If you didn't see a job that you wanted, what did you say?
I said I want to create one.
Just create a job.
And what did you tell me? I said I want to go
to
a business with my dad. I want to have nice other stuff in it.
He comes to me and says, Dad, let's go into business together. And I was starting to find businesses. He said, let's do something together.
Yeah.
Which is great, right? and then, like any good entrepreneur, John has a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
And some of them are good ideas, but not all of them.
Right.
What was the first idea for a business?
A fun store.
A fun store.
Okay.
He kept walking around saying, we'll open a fun store. And I would say, what are we going to sell? And he would say, I don't know. A fun store. What was the next idea?
A food truck. I got an idea from the movie Chef.
Yeah.
So that sounds like a fun idea, right? Yeah. And we're talking about what we could
father
make.
Father and son,
do it, right? But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah, we can't cook.
Small problem. Yeah.
But then, right before the Thanksgiving in the United States in late November, John had his eureka moment.
I want to sell crazy socks. Why socks is fun, is colorful, creative, always let be
me.
Always let me be me, huh? John had worn crazy socks his whole life. We used to drive around looking for him. So he comes, Dad, I want to sell socks. And I'm thinking, okay, if you love these socks this much, surely there are other people that do too. And you had the name?
I got a name. That's for the website.
He had ideas for a website.
And he suggested a Mark Service sock.
Yeah, I suggested a name.
It's not going to happen.
He said, no, none of this Mark stuff. It's got to be John's.
Yeah.
That's right.
We're a couple knuckleheads selling socks. We have a dream business.
And dream big.
And all we want to do is change the world.
Oh, yeah, you are, you know. John, do you know that? The world is changing.
I do.
You are making a difference. Yes.
I do. I think any better than I any happier.
We are going to create micro franchises of John's Crazy Socks. We want to put entrepreneurs with differing abilities into business. So we're going to give them like business in a box.
Franchise.
Put them into business. We're going to give them a stand that they could use. We're going to give them inventory. We're going to train them. We'll give them marketing materials. We'll connect them with a credit card processor so that they know they have their own business. And we want to create 5,000 JCS champion, I'm sorry, 1,000 in the next 5 years. Just more and more places showing the world, look what people can do. We're going to create a marketplace. We already got to work with businesses similar to ours that are owned by or led by or focused on working with people with different abilities. So we showcase their products. We're going to create a marketplace that they can bring their products to market. They can use them. And we're going to create a training institution. We get asked all the time, how can we do this? We want to help train entrepreneurs and their families, as well as small and medium businesses, on how they can hire people with different abilities. So John likes to say, we're just getting started.
Yeah, you know, I know someone personally with Down syndrome, and she just started because of the digital ecosystem. You know, it is easy today to start your own thing. So if she could access something like this, or could be inspired by something like this, she's also set, she's also the same age with Down syndrome. And, you know, she started her food catering business. So, you know, this is amazing what you're doing, because inspiration is, you know, is not easy to come, but when it comes, it can change everything. Are you looking?
Oh!
Oh, wow.
Okay. Most unforgettable travel trip?
Canada.
Canada. Oh, we did a tour of Canada with the U.S. State Department. That was your favorite?
Yes.
I think that was cool. Okay. I think for me, it would be the first time we testified before Congress. That was very neat.
Okay. Favorite possession? What?
Pillow.
The pillow? All right, so John is a big fan of the Friends TV show, and he has a pillow with one of the characters' faces on it.
Which is the character? Good. Which character? Was it Joey?
Joey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a Joey fan.
Okay. Who isn't? Okay, Mark and John, quickly, your best friend.
My best friend. Oh, I'm going to say either Joe or Joe Laicano or Paul Niles. Who are you going to say? Got to pick one. 3, 2, 1, go.
Stephanie.
Ooh.
Okay. If you could. Okay, that's nice. If you could be any animal.
Bison.
What would it be and why?
You want to be a bison?
Okay.
Bison? Me? Oh, I already am. I'm a big old bear. I'm a big old grizzly bear.
Papa Bear. Okay. Your most often used phrase.
Is your most common phrase, Dad, I just farted?
My favorite is that I told my dad I farted.
Right.
A book you'd like to gift to all your friends. Is there a book like that?
For me, there is. And I've given it to many of my friends. Mm-hmm. It's a book-length poem called The Book of Nightmares by a poet, Galway Kinnell. Mm. What about you? Is there a book you love that you would give to others?
Yes.
Which one?
One of my favorite things that is Go Dogs Go.
Go Dogs Go by Dr. Seuss. Love it.
Love it.
Werewolves of London. You can hear them howling around your kitchen door. You better not let them in. Little old lady got mutilated last night. Werewolves of London again. Werewolves of London. I think we better stop. We're driving people away. Okay.
Could you share for our audiences your online addresses?
Where can they get them?
At johnscrazysocks.com.
johnscrazysocks.com. If you want to reach us, you have any questions, you can email us at service@johnscrazysocks.com. This is a great interview. We do a lot of interviews. This is so much fun. You are so great. So we think everybody should be listening to Javsrevy and her podcast, right?
Right.
What a wonderful show. The questions, the way you move things, this is awesome. So everybody come out, listen to Javsrevy and her podcast.